Just going to have a wee word of prayer as we turn again to God's precious word, and we'll just ask the Lord for his blessing to be upon us just now as we come to the ministry of his word. Father in heaven, we thank and praise thee again tonight for the opportunity to come together, to meet together, to hear thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, for the hymns of Zion, the choruses. We thank thee, Lord, for the ministry and song, and we thank thee that we sing about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that we can say with the hymn writer, for he is my Savior, and he is my friend. And Lord, we just thank thee tonight for each one within the hearing of our voice who can read their title clear to a mansion in the sky, who can rejoice that we can say with the hymn writer, my sin, O the blessed of the glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, was nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more, and it is well with my soul. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless every child of God. We thank thee, Lord, for the message of the gospel. It is old, but thank God it's ever new, and we rejoice to hear the gospel preached. And we ask thee, Lord, again, as we would preach the gospel of Christ, that thou wouldst take thy word. And should there be one within the hearing of our voice, still outside of Christ, still on that broad road that leads to a lost, Christless eternity, our Father, we pray that even this very night they may come to know him whom to know is life eternal, that they might be saved for time and for all of God's eternity. Bless us just now, Lord, as we turn again to thy word. For we ask all these things in the Saviour's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Now we're turning again to the Epistle to the Romans, and in Romans chapter 1. And I was thinking about it just as I was driving up the road tonight, and I remember many, many, many years ago, just as a young believer, I was asked to preach at a little mission hall in Cooper Street. And Cooper Street runs from the Falls Road to the Shankill Road in the city of Belfast. And I remember I was thinking about these words of the Apostle Paul, and I thought I would speak on the subject of Paul's three great I ams. Because Paul says in verse 14, I am debtor. And then he says in verse 15, I am ready. And then he says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed. And I remember studying long and hard, and I thought to myself, if I could preach for 5 minutes on each of Paul's I ams, at least that would be 15 minutes. And then I thought to myself, well, if I really got liberty and I could preach for 10 minutes on each of Paul's I ams, that would be 30 minutes. So I went to the meeting, little mission hall, and they sang the opening hymn. It started at 8 o'clock. They sang an opening hymn. They had a word of prayer. They had another hymn. They had a couple of young ladies there to sing. They brought messages and song. They made the necessary announcements. The girls sang again. Then they had another gospel hymn. And of course, being in Belfast, they took up an offering. And then they put me on to preach at about 25 minutes to 9. At 20 minutes to 9. 5 minutes later, I pronounced the benediction. And some people down through the years have been saying, I wish he would go back to that. But we'll try and go a little bit longer than that. But I want just to draw your attention to verse 16. The great apostle Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The story is told of a young man who was brought up in a very godly Christian home. His siblings came to know Christ as their own and personal Savior. But he himself rejected the gospel, rejected all the things that his godly mother and godly father had sought to teach him and to instruct him in the way. He left home, he went out into this world, and he lived for the things of this world, and he dived deep into the things of this world. And he was involved in many, many things. Sinful things. Corruptible things. Ungodliness. Blasphemy and all these things. And then one night at a gospel mission, he responded to the invitation. And he came to know Christ as his own and personal Savior. And I'm sure there were tears of great joy with that mother and father when the prodigal son came home and told them how he had now found Christ as his Savior. It wasn't very long as a new believer. He felt that God was calling him and constraining him to be a preacher of the gospel. He went to Bible school. He was ordained. He became a great preacher. He went out and he preached in many, many gospel missions. He witnessed many, many people come to know Christ as a Savior. And one night at a great gospel tent meeting, he was about to get up to preach, and someone handed him a letter from someone in the audience. And this person in the audience said, "I know all about you. I know all about your life. I know all about your past. And if you get up to preach, I'm going to get up and publicly denounce you. Say you're a hypocrite." And the young man got up. And he says, "I have received a letter." And he read the contents of the letter. And he said, "When I look back over my life," he says, "I look back with shame. I look back with grief and with sorrow for many of the things that I did. I stand before you tonight," he says, "a sinner saved by the grace." And he says, as the Apostle Paul says, "For by the grace of God, I am what I am." He said, "I intend to preach," because he says, "although I am ashamed of my past, thank God it's all under the blood of Christ. And I am saved, I have been redeemed, I have been forgiven." And he says, "There is one thing I am not ashamed of, and that is the gospel of Christ." Thank God tonight we can gather here at the drive-in church and we can say like the apostle, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The word gospel means the good news. It means the glad tidings. I love that verse way back in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 25. The writer says, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." You can just imagine it out there in the east, and someone under the burning heat of the noonday sun, and they long for a cold drink, for refreshing water to slake their thirst. And the writer of Proverbs says, "As cold waters are to a thirsty soul," he says, "so is good news from a far country." And beloved, tonight, to men and women without Christ, men and women who are perishing, men and women who are thirsting, as the hymn writer says, "I thirsted in the barren lands of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I find." But just as sinners are thirsting in the barren land of sin and shame, and all the pleasures and the pomp and the prosperity and the prominence in this world, so is good news from a far country. And here's the good news that came from heaven to earth. Here's the good news from glory itself, that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son to be born of the woman, to be made under the law, that he might die upon that old rugged cross, that, as we were saying, he might take your place and my place at the place called Calvary, and he might bear our sins in his own body to the tree. The gospel spoken of by Paul in Corinthians, he says, "This is the gospel that I have declared unto you, There in 1 Corinthians 15, he says how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. My, this is the gospel of Christ. And we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Sometimes in the Scriptures here, it's described even in Romans 1 here in verse 1. It's the gospel of God. It's called the gospel of his Son. It's the gospel that is declared Christ is declared to be the Son of God with power. The Bible calls it the gospel of his kingdom. It calls it the everlasting gospel. It calls it the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The everlasting, the glorious gospel. And thank God tonight it's a message we have to proclaim. Many people love the hymn Amazing Grace. If you ask them anything about it, they'll be able to tell you that it was written by John Newton. John Newton wrote many lovely hymns. And there is a lovely hymn in our own hymn book, and it says these words. It says, "What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme, for you cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him." As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, then it speaks about mercy and grace, or judgment will be your lot. See, the Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And I want you to think just for a moment or two about the sublime Christ of the gospel. What think ye tonight of Christ? The question was asked in the Scriptures, "Whom do men say that I am?" What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Wonder, dear friend, tonight, do you look upon my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is described here in those very words, that he is Lord, that he is Jesus, that he is Christ? In other words, he is the Anointed One. He is the Messiah. He is Jesus. He is the Savior. He is Lord. He is very God of very God. He is God manifest in flesh. What think ye of Christ? That's the test. I remember many years ago sitting in the Bible class in Lurgan Baptist Church and listening to the late Pastor Willie Mullen, and he was preaching a series on the cults. And he said, you need to get the people in the cults and you need to ask them one question: what think ye of Christ, and whose son is he? Because this world will tell you he was just a good man. This world will tell you he was a revolutionary in his day and age. This world will tell you he was a martyr. He died for a cause in which he believed. This world will say he was a good man. He went about doing good, but that's all. This world will say he was a great leader, but he was just on the same level, on the same power as Buddha or Muhammad or Krishna or anyone else. But the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so Paul, when he writes to the Romans, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." My, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only one who can do lost, guilty, helpless, hell-deserving sinners good. And so Paul says here, the sweeping or the sublime Christ of the gospel. What think ye of Christ? Wonder, friend, tonight, do you just think he's another religious leader? You like some who, in this modern day and age, deny that he ever walked upon the sea, that he ever performed a miracle, that he ever opened the eyes of the blind, that he ever raised the dead. You want to call him just a man. He's the Son of God who loved you, who gave himself for you at the cross of Calvary. So Paul speaks about the sublime Christ of God. But I want you to notice when he goes on in the verse of Scripture, he talks about this gospel as the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that's what I would call the sweeping call of the gospel. Here's a message that was to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Here's a message for north, south, east, and west. Here's a message from the Orient to the Occident. Here's a message for the illiterate. Here's a message for the educated. Here's a message for the rich. Here's a message for the poor. Here's a message for the exceeding sinful, whom we might say are walking down what we would call the filthy side of the broad road that leads to a lost eternity. Here's a message for the good, the upright, the person of integrity, the religious person walking on the clean side, but still on the broad road to a lost, Christless eternity. This is a message for everyone, Jew or Gentile, Protestant or Roman Catholic, Hindu or Muslim, anyone who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes later on in this epistle, Romans 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been. No matter what you've done. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that brings me to a third point, because the Bible speaks here about the striking conversions of this gospel. Paul is writing this word under the inspiration of God the Holy Ghost. But Paul was a blasphemer and a persecutor. Paul confessed himself, I was injurious. And I think to his very dying day, it grieved his heart, it grieved his soul. As he wrote to young Timothy, he says, I persecuted the church of Christ. And how it grieved him. But one day, on the road to Damascus, and you know the story, Christ appeared to Saul of Tarsus. And that man, steeped in religion, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day, set at the feet of Gamaliel, was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He realized he was a sinner of sinners, and he called upon Christ to have mercy upon his never-dying immortal soul. And thank God he passed from death unto life, and from sin and from Satan unto God. And that's why Paul can testify personally, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. He called himself the chief of sinners. He said, I am the chief of sinners, and my conversion is an example of conversion. Even so much so that to this very day, even on the news media of the world, if a man in business or in politics or in sport or in any other field changes his position on what he has said on previous times, they say that man had a Damascus Road experience, referring back, of course, to Saul of Tarsus. That great conversion on the road to Damascus, when a blaspheming, persecuting Pharisee came to know Christ. And the Bible gives us many records of many such conversions. That little man called Zacchaeus, who was rich, the chief among the publicans, he was rich because of his extortion. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Zacchaeus, looked up to him there as he sat on the branches of the sycamore tree, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Like that woman at the well, whom the Savior met at the noontide, told her all about the living water. Oh, he said, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. But my, if you drink of the water I give you, you'll never thirst. That's why Isaiah could say, we will drink of the water of the well of salvation. Thank God for the striking conversions in the Holy Scriptures of men and women who have been saved through the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And thank God even tonight in such a congregation there are men and women who could testify, who could come to the pulpit and who could say, yes, friend, I remember as a guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinner, I found Christ as my own and personal Savior. It wasn't in a church. It wasn't by baptism. It wasn't through the taking of the Lord's Supper. It wasn't through my good works. It wasn't through my joining a congregation. It was because I put my faith and trust in Jesus, because Jesus died on the cross for me and I believed on him. And I am saved. Paul writes about these great stories of conversion. But you know, when we were reading it there, Paul says, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I'm so glad tonight that Paul includes here the simple condition of the gospel. You know, the gospel is simple, and yet it is profound. But all the profundity and all the things that are so intricate and hard to be understood, that's all on God's part. And all man has to do is to come as a sinner and acknowledge their sin and turn from their sin and repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's none of works, the apostle says, lest any man should boast. Because Isaiah says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But Paul says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. A little child can call. Whosoever shall call. When Peter was sinking on the water, he cried out, Lord, save me. Simple. Lord, save me. And the Lord saved him. Paul says, if you believe, that most famous of texts of Scripture in John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. As the old Philippian jailer said there in the jail at Philippi, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas give him the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Isaiah speaking on God's stead, he says, look unto me, God says, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Dear friend, tonight, thank God for the gospel. And thank God for the simplicity of the gospel. Dr. Paisley used to quote an old Puritan who said that, you know, the gospel is like this. He said, God thought it. The Lord Jesus Christ wrought it at Calvary. Satan thought it, but the Holy Spirit brought it. And he said, praise God, I've got it. Now that old preacher could say that because it's exactly true. God thought it, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 14 and 14, that God devised a means or a plan or a way of salvation whereby men and women who ought to be banished from his holy presence for all eternity, God devised a means whereby they could be reconciled to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ wrought it, as we were singing tonight, at the place called Calvary. The Gospel of Mark tells us the Son of God came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for the many. And Satan thought it. And my, he'll fight it in your heart tonight, friend, if you're not saved. He'll tell you you've plenty of time. He'll tell you put it off until another time. Put it off until you get back into the house of God. Put it off until you're a little bit older. Put it off. Just don't be coming to Christ now. That's why the Bible says Satan, the god of this world, is blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. But my thank God, the Holy Spirit brought it. Oh, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I love the way the old hymn writer puts it. He says, born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified freely, thank God fully, through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And dear friend, if you come this way, God's way, you'll say like the old Puritan, God thought it, Christ wrought it, Satan fought it, the Holy Spirit brought it, and thank God I've got it. For Paul could say to the church in Galatia, he says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I just close by saying, Paul speaks here about the satisfying consequence of the gospel. He says it's the power of God unto salvation. You know, men and women in this world cannot understand. Our son, dear soul, and I could tell you about a dear man of God who became a great preacher in the Church of the Nazarene. He's brought up in Sandy Row in Belfast. But he loved to drink. He loved the fighting. He loved crime. He ended up being in jail. He ended up having to join the army. It was either go back for another term inside, or they said, we'll make a man out of you. We'll send you to the army. He went. He was dishonorably discharged from the British army. And he came home. Staggering up the Donegal Road one night in the city of Belfast under the influence of drink, he heard the hymn singing in a little Nazarene church of what we call the Library Hill at Innes Place. He went in and he heard the gospel, and he says he knelt at an old pew in the front of an old farm in the front of the church, and he asked the Lord to save him. And he says he walked out as sober as a judge. God called him. He became a great man of God. Dear friend, this world can't understand how a sinner can come in all their need, with all their addictions, with all their problems, with all their heartaches, with all their burdens. But as the hymn writer says, cast your care on Jesus today. Thank God he can save you, for he is able to save to the very uttermost all them that come unto God by him. When a man or woman comes to him, like that woman at the well, she says, Lord, give me of this living water. That's why Isaiah says, I can drink of the wells of salvation. He would find satisfaction. And you know the psalmist said there in Psalm 17 in the last verse, he said, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Oh, what a wonderful thing to have the peace and the joy and the satisfaction of Christ in your heart and life. To know that it's well with your soul, that Jesus Christ is your Savior. And that when this fleeting life comes to a close, for you it will be absent from the body, to be at home and present with the Lord. If we can be of any help to you at all, to point you to Christ, dear friend, don't go away without speaking to us about the Savior. May God bless his word to our hearts. for his name's sake.